I had the most success with TAP and I was the most competitive. I definitely felt just as loved.
I think they get concerned about where their abilities lie regarding the three areas.
At first, it's not about doing the best thing for your career, it's about doing something.
Welcome to Making It Happen, a career in the performing arts, where we discuss how to break into the performing arts industry for yourself or your child, teen, or young adult. Guests include professionals who are passionate and share my vision of helping talented individuals land professional representation and have successful careers in the arts. My name is Lisa Solek, and I am the CEO and founder of Making It Happen, a career in the performing arts, having helped hundreds of clients break into the performing arts business on stage, including Broadway, in films, television, commercial work, and more. This podcast is supplemental to my groundbreaking online courses. For more information, you can check out all the ways that you can benefit from my courses, my how-to videos, my live seminars, my free weekly newsletters, and free guides. Go to lbctalent.com. My guest today is Curtis Holland.
And so like, get up, get a job, go to Target, go to Chipotle, go to the barista, assist classes, work at a competition, judge competitions, teach, do something, audition for Algonquin, audition for Tuts, audition for anything, do anything, just do something. And then everything will start to build. And that's what I did. And after a while, I kept auditioning. Oh, I had some crazy auditions. I had some bad auditions because, again, my learning curve was immense and I had many things to have to figure out.
So wait, I have a question before you go on. I have a question. When did the vocal training start? When you moved to the city? Like, were you a singer prior when you were younger? Were you doing musical theater anywhere where you had to sing? Like, when did the vocal piece come in for you?
I did musical theater in middle and high school. We had basic understanding of music and of voice training where we had to sing often, but we weren't sitting down saying, this is how you breathe, this is how you breathe from, this is how you produce sound, this is the best version of sound for you to produce. There was a lot of that happened, but we did not sit down and have music theory. We were working real time in for the space that our whatever we were working on, whatever performance we were working on, needed singing. Every morning, especially in middle school, we would get into a circle and we would have like warm-ups that we would do. And like the last maybe 10 minutes was somebody in the middle leading like la 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 la, now you go. And then we would just do that. So we were always warming up and we were always cognizant of notes, of tone, of being on pitch, of harmony. We had to learn all of that from a young age, and we used it a lot. We were singing harmonies in middle school and high school, but we were not getting music theory and one-on-one individualized voice training. I did not start that until I got to the city, and I poked here and there because I was just trying to figure out where to get that from, but I started that maybe around 2015. So the year after I got to New York, I had maybe a few voice lessons in my first job in Oregon when they brought in a master teacher to do a master class, got back to the city, started getting voice lessons a little bit more frequently, and then got them very frequently when I had to cover. It varies. Sometimes it's very frequent. Sometimes it's not, just depending on, if I'm in a show and if I have time. But right now I am in a season of being very diligent with voice lessons. And so it goes back and forth. I recommend doing that so much sooner than later. Because here's the thing, y'all. They like to tell you that everybody needs a singer, dancer, actor. Like, you need to do all three. You need to sing more than you need to be able to dance. You just have to. If you want to do music, I'm speaking from a very specific place. If you want to do musical theater, make sure you can sing. Even if you want to just start in the ensemble, because now I'm speaking specifically to dancers, but if you want to be in the ensemble and make a good check for being in the ensemble, make sure you can sing, make sure you can hold a note, make sure you know how to blend with a group, make sure you know how to stay on pitch, make sure you know a good tone that is pleasing to the ear. Figure that out, number one. And then right after that, make sure that you can dance. Make sure that you can fake your way through a dance call slash be exceptional at a mover's call. That's what you're going for. Acting.
Say what you want about me, internet. I don't care.
We'll figure that out. Speaking as somebody who did figure it out and just naturally did. And again, I had prior training. I wasn't starting from scritchety scratch. I had training in middle school and high school that made me a little bit more prepared. But in regards to that, know what beats are, know what pauses are, know what your blocking is, know upstage, know downstage, know how to use a prop, know how to act authentically, know how to breathe through the moment, know how to plant your feet. So there are just kind of pillars in each thing that are necessary. And then everything out of that should come out of your love for doing it.
Hear, hear. Cheers to that.
Yes.
It's true though, but I think for you as a your first genre was dance,
yes,
you're still having to be an actor. You're in the performance. Do you know, like there's, it's in
100%.
There. And if you're a singer first, and that's where you fall, whether that's in your school choir and or in the school musical theater, which your description of what went on in your junior high is very similar to, I think, what happens across this country in junior high programs, because that's what they can do. That's all they can do. They're dealing with lots of children and trying to expose them to the art, right? But if they're a singer first, they're having to, in performance, tell the story within the song. So you're an actor. It's
correct.
All there.
Correct, yeah.
It's just a matter of understanding, like you're mentioning, and labeling pillars, you know, those different moments that you just have to have that general idea to be able to get through all of that, for sure. But do you feel like, I feel like to be successful, you do have to be quite talented at least one of the three areas. Like, I feel like you do have to be either a great dancer, a great singer, or, you know, if you're heading into the space of being in straight plays and that type of thing, obviously you have to have that acting. So I think there has to be this innate kind of talent that you were born with, or the attributes to be able to be good at that. Like the football player who is, you know, 6'5" and weighs whatever, and he's going to be good at because of just what God gave him, whatever you want to call it. Do you know what I mean? So there's that too. But it's interesting that you started the vocal training later. You had the basic concepts. You obviously had an ear for it. You already understood music. Being such an advanced dancer, you have to understand, you know, where to fit everything into the music. So when you go to sing, you're going to know where to fit everything into that accompaniment. You know, like there's those pieces that you already kind of had pretty solid once you started those.
And my outside life, I grew up Episcopalian. So we were listening to like Catholic music in church. Like we had to sing the hymns all the time. So like even just, and the cadence of Catholic music and the chord progressions feel so rudimentary that, and not in a dissing way, but they're just so like, beep, ba, boo, ba, beep, ba, ba, boo, ba, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, so, yes.
From a very early age, I just always heard the difference
in the progressions. Yeah.
I just heard progressions growing up. And like for everyone out there, like don't discredit your outside sources. If you listen to music all the time, like you're already getting this sense of musicality, depending on what you're listening to. Like I'm sure that even Cardi B sometimes will give you a lesson in chord progressions. Like you'll be able to find what I'm trying to say, because I think, Now I'm standing on my soapbox for a second. We get so tunnel vision on musical theater that we forget that outside sources are the only reason why we are able to exist inside of this space.
Mm-hmm.
And they are actively helping if you open yourself up to them and hear the things around you, see the things around you. Like see your grandma and take on her physicality, you're already acting. Dance with your parents, like even at, or with your friends at a club, you're already dancing. Listening to music, singing in the car, you're already singing. Like this type of real life thing is storytelling. And we can't forget that that's what we're here to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I have to ask you, you have been in many Broadway shows. Most people who know you or have heard of you, or once they see this, they're going to Google you. They're going to know what shows you've been in. How has your experience changed as a performer, as a part of a bigger whole, the project, how has your experience changed from within, as well as your perception of who you are in that bigger space with the cast of said Broadway show? How has that changed from your first Broadway show to now the show that you will be starting very soon?
I think I was young. Also, y'all, my prefrontal cortex wasn't even developed yet when I started Broadway. I had so much to learn, and I still have so much to learn, but in a different way now. At the time, I was soaking up so much information in just in a natural way and in an in a wide-eyed type of way where everything was just new and I wanted to know it. And it also varies the show. Like, I got really lucky. My first show was Shuffle Along, choreographed by Savion Glover and directed by George C. Wolfe, and with Audra McDonald, Brian Stokes Mitchell, Billy Porter, Brandon Victor Dixon,
unbelievable,
Joshua Henry, and a whole cast of Black performers. And the one white performer in our cast, Brooks Ashmanskas, is a legend. I was around so much greatness, and not only greatness, because we're all great, but so much seasoned greatness.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and a varied ages, so that I got to see like top tier people in their 40s and in their 45s, and then I also got to see people in their 30s, and then there were a few of us in our young 20s, in our early 20s, and then many people, not even many, but just a scattered amount in their late 20s. So, and the way that people just pour on you when you're new, it's so rare and so beautiful. And they just did that. So I was just so protected. And I was in this little bubble of warmth and education. Also, the show that we were doing, again, this is just my personal experience, but the show that we were doing was basically a history lesson. And it was a history lesson that pertained to me. It was about the show Shuffle Along in 1912 and beyond, and how it came to fruition, what happened to the people, and how they paved the way for us today. And not only the people doing their show, but just all Black performers and all performers on Broadway, no matter your race, they were a big component of that. So it was so beautiful to have a first show mean so much. And every show taught me something very different. After Shuffle Along, I did Mean Girls on Broadway. And that was the longest running show that I've currently been in, or that I've been in to date, let's say it like that. We ran for almost 3 years. Because it was a long run, I saw so many people cycle in and out of it. So it kind of showed me the reality of what happens during a long Broadway show, of how relationships that you make with people, family members that you curate, leave, and you may still be there, and how relationships ebb and flow during that time, how to keep things fresh, how to keep things professional, how to keep the material consistent. Like, I think that was the show that taught me how to be a working professional, because my first show was just glitter and newness, so I didn't have the issue of getting bored. Mm-hmm. My second show, I was there for so long, I got bored. It's just what happens, and it's no one's fault, because the creation process is so different than actually just running the thing every day. Mm-hmm. For eight times a week for how many weeks on end, you know?
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. So it's taught me how to be consistent and how to be professional, which is just always a learning game and a continuous learning experience of just like, how do I bring my best self to this? How do I make sure that I don't tire myself out? You know, it just goes on and on. And I feel like that was continued through Music Man. And, you know, I think Music Man started to teach me that life happens. And because that was after the pandemic, it taught me to be a little bit more grateful for being in this space. But it also taught me that there's a life out of Broadway. And by this point, Broadway was no longer new to me. So a lot of the things started to feel the same. And it's not to discredit my gratitude towards being on Broadway. It is to say that after a while, things start to feel similar. It's like, oh, the newness of what this is no longer here. The newness of this. And then there are other things that will always feel new. Like getting into that specific theater is always going to be new. And like going, if you get the opportunity to go on Tony's, that's always a new experience. Yeah. But there are other things, like the way that you interact with people just becomes the same, because this is a cycle. This is a business. And what is asked of you becomes very similar, just with a different name or a different dance step or note attached to it. I had to continue to learn how to work in the space of giving enough of myself to the project, but also remembering that I am a person outside of this. And what does a life actually look like when it's not surrounded by musical theater, when I'm not inundated with trying to be the best? Then I did Funny Girl on Broadway, and I was a replacement. And this is one of those shows where timing plus your talent and hard work plus being able to easily fit into costumes of the person who was there before you just kind of all come together. And that's when it comes back to things like, sometimes you just can't control these things. Like, I just happen to be maybe an inch taller than the person, one of my friends, who I replaced. And we just have the same track. We have the same dance ability. We have the same vocal part. And I was available to step in for him when he had to go, I believe. It's just how that show started to become a lot more just about camaraderie and friendship and fun. Because at that point, like, I know what I'm doing. I know that I belong here. And the space that I went into at Funny Girl was just such a fun space. The cast was amazing. Like, the leads were amazing and nice. Everyone was great. So I just got to come in, and I was starting to get a grasp on who I was as a person. Because by this point, I'm 27, 28. So I'm just starting to get a grasp. Granted, I did shuffle along when I was 20 years old, or 21 years old, let's say. So I've had 6 years to grow up. I'm just able to bring a more exhaled version of myself.
More grounded.
Yeah. It's just what time provides.
Yes. You know? Yes.
And so now I am about to begin rehearsals, actually tomorrow, for The Great Gatsby on Broadway.
Which is very exciting.
And it's so exciting. I'm so excited. We did it out in Paper Mill, and we had the opportunity to, you know, test it out. And I am excited to bring an even fuller version of myself, where, you know, like, I have my own apartment, and I've had my own apartment before, but this is my first one bedroom, y'all. It's really nice. But, you know, my priorities are different. My family means more. My friends are starting to mean so much more. The way that I want to take care of myself, the financial goals that I have for myself, the way that I save my money is different. The way that I meditate, the regimen that I do in the morning, the activities that I want to have outside of here, the video games that I want to be able to play, the vacations that I want to be able to go on. Like, things are just different. And so I'm able to do a lot of things. I'm able to hold this as a job and say, this is a job. Get your check from this job. Do your job well and get out of there and go enjoy your life. And then I also get to say, while I'm inside of this space, while I'm at Broadway practice, as one of my friends likes to call it, as I'm at Broadway practice, have the best time.
Yes.
Because times are fleeting, and I am so lucky. I'm lucky plus hard work, but I am so grateful to have been on Broadway 5 times now. It does not happen like this for everyone. And when it doesn't, y'all, it's not the end of the world. It's just not. There's so much out there. There are so many more ways to make money, so many different ways to make money. Broadway, it stopped having control over my identity. Like, me being in Broadway, in 5 Broadway shows, after a while, like, the fact that you're racking up and tallying up, it's not as exciting. It's like, no, I just do this at this point. It's not enough. Okay, I'm on my 5th show. And it's always nice to say. Like, it is nice to say. But that's not the end all be all for me. That's not my driving factor, is I can't wait to be in 8 Broadway shows. That's only halfway true. I do want to get to 8 just so that I can take a playbill and then kind of like take a strip from each and spell out PLAYBILL and have it be from one of my 8 shows. So that's like a personal thing. But like, you see what I'm saying? Like, at this point, it's just, for lack of a better term, and don't fry me for this, but it just becomes like either a game or a way to make a good paycheck while doing an aspect of something that you love. Because people are like, oh my gosh, you love being on Broadway. I don't love being on Broadway. I love to dance. I love to be with friends. And right now, a lot of my friends are on Broadway in the space where I get to dance. And often I love telling the story. I don't always love telling the story that I'm telling, whether on Broadway or in musical theater. Mm-hmm. I have a good and moderate and substantial appreciation for musical theater, but I am not a musical theater nerd. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in a space where, you know, musical theater nerds like thrive. And if you're not a musical theater nerd, what's getting you through? I like being with my friends. I love to dance. I love to sing. Sometimes I like to cover and understudy. Like, there are just fun things to do inside of here while still making a check. And I think that's really wonderful. I have this kind of wider scope where everything gets to exist. You don't have to be a jaded, see you next Tuesday in order to do this. You also don't have to be like held in, like, oh my gosh, like I can't do that. There are so many ways to get around, not even to get around, but to be inside of the space and just understand that there is so much life. There's so much life inside of this. There's so much life outside of this. And both can exist at the same time.
You're adulting now. You are adulting. That's what it is.
It's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure when you get into, you know, every show has a different group of people. Every show has a different vibe inside every show. And you have to find your balance and you have to figure out what works for you. And it's important. And I think it's very important what you just shared. And thank you for that, for parents to see it, because I think the general public puts, Kurt mentioned it to me when he booked Funny Girl. And he said, you know, Broadway, he's been doing art for years. He's been performing for years in various, you know, out of town things and very much in the top space, as you know. But he mentioned to me, he said, you know, Broadway, he called it the castle on the hill, like the golden castle on the hill. And so the people who love theater, like you mentioned the term theater nerds, you know, who like love theater and, you know, you're asked questions when you start getting into the, you know, the funnel for this career path, you know, what's your dream role? What is that? You know, and I've had so many clients, including my own kids, who they don't really have a dream role. They just loved exactly what you just said. They just love to dance. They enjoy singing. They enjoy telling a story. This is just the space that they live in. And I think because of so much of this game being a closed door, gatekeeper kind of a game, the general public puts it on this huge pedestal. But when you described it today, so much of it, it's like any other career path. You want to become a surgeon, you want to become a doctor, you want to become an attorney, you want to become a carpenter. It's going to be exciting in the beginning. It's going to be thrilling to be in that space initially. And it's going to take a lot of hard work and you're going to have to absorb all of the information that you can. And you have to also, in those spaces, stay in your own lane. You know what I mean? Because everyone comes out of school thinking they're going to change the world. Like the majority of people come out of collegiate programs thinking they're going to change everything on the planet. And then they realize, oh, wait, you know, like I need to take a step back and learn from the space that I'm in, learn from the people in that space, respect the people who've been there so much longer than you have when you first begin. And like you said, it's okay to be doing the art in various spaces as long as you're doing what you love and when the time is right and that your type is right. And like you mentioned with coming in as a replacement in, you know, in Funny Girl, fitting into that puzzle piece that they always talk about, that casting always talks about. There's so much going into that side of it that you're not even aware of when you first are trying to struggle to get to the castle. You know, and then once you're there, it's a different feeling after five shows.
And something else that was really helpful on this, especially when it comes to casting, I got the chance to help with auditions one day for Kimberly Akimbo. Yeah, it was awesome. They're all like, everyone who came in audition was a star in their own right. I was helping with the choreography, but obviously this was my first time being on the other side of the table where people were asking me like, what do you think of this person? And I was like, well, yeah, they're fine. And then, you know, at first I'm like, yeah, no, they're great, because when we go into these auditions as performers, we have like this, we take on so much of, oh my gosh, it's my fault. Like I didn't do my best. Y'all, sometimes I'm gonna tell you two truths. Number one, sometimes you're looking for something specific. Number two, you're just not right for this. You're just not right for it. And that has nothing to do with you itself. You're just not what the person's looking for. You're not what the person envisioned in their head, or they don't think that you have the spark that they need for this character or for this something. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like such a like hurtful and personal thing, but y'all, when they talk about it, they talk about it so pragmatically, like, and so practically, like, what color is this? Blue. Is this red? No, it's not red. Is that person right for this? No, they're not right. They don't have that thing. They don't look young enough. And it happens in an instant, and they have forgotten about you. They're not sitting here talking about you after, like, ha, Johnny was terrible. Like, they're just not out here coming for you like that. Mm-hmm. And it's practical. They are trying to plan a show the same way that you are trying to clean your house. You are not sitting there like, I'm going to miss this toilet paper. Goodbye, toilet paper. You do your job. No. I finished it. I'm done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They are done with it. And it has nothing to do with you. What I also realize is you're just not made for everything. And you just can't be. And as young people, we want to be made for everything. It's just, it's part of us. And I still, at the ripe, tender age of 29, I still go through times when I'm like, I wish that I was wanted more, or I wish I was wanted by more people. And it's like, that's just not, that's not how any of this works. And the more, the more you figure that out. And I, that's part of the wisdom too, is like, I'm made for the spaces that I'm made for, because my life has only gone in one direction. It didn't go in 17 directions. So I can't be right for 17 things.
That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. But this one road has so many stops on it that I'm not going to miss out on as much as I think I'm going to miss out on.
Absolutely. You know what? I teach inside my courses how the industry works on the inside, right? So we talk about a lot of this. And one thing I tell people is, if you think about the person who wrote the book, whether, you know, it's the book on for Broadway for the show, or it's the script for a TV show or the commercial or a film, that those writers have in their heads who that character is, what that character looks like, what that character sounds like, what, how tall they are, how, you know, like whatever it is, what is in their personality. And you can't, you know, you can only create the characters as best as you can. And at the end of the day, you're going to be a type. Hence, they have the reason for typing people or figuring out what types of roles that they can play. And I do agree with you that people go to these open calls or they go to an audition and they're looking at the breakdown and saying, oh, that's me. That's me. That's me. And the majority of my adults that I work with, I help them to understand what kind of character they truly can play based on thinking about the silhouette that they present on stage. This is beyond the talent, beyond all of that. Like, what is really happening with your type, so that you aren't in a headspace of being disappointed, thinking this is my role, this is mine, this is mine. And when you go back to thinking the person on the other side of the table who wrote the show, who wrote the music, who wrote all those people that are part of the creatives, they have a vision. And if you're going to fit into that vision of each one, you know, of one of those characters or whatever, it is something that you can't control. Hence the reason casting says, the puzzle pieces are the puzzle pieces. We can wiggle them a little bit. For the most part, those are the puzzle pieces. So what can we say? You could be a fabulous dancer and a great singer, but the top note for that role is two notes higher than what you can actually sing. You know, that's just the way it goes. On to the next one. On to the next one, you know?
And sometimes people are willing to make concessions and other times they're not. And you can't blame either party. Again, you said it very well. The puzzle pieces are just the puzzle pieces, or casting said it very well. The puzzle pieces are the puzzle pieces.
Give us your last thoughts on whether it's your experience as a whole, or maybe advice in general for folks, for whether it's parents of talented young people or the older talent struggling to get to the castle. Like, just give us an ending thought. Yeah, take a minute.
I'm going to do a few. So we'll probably be here for 5 minutes.
That's fine. Go for it.
Number one, somebody asked me, and I scoff at him because he's already done 3 Broadway shows. And he was like, do you have any advice for somebody who's coming in on his 3rd Broadway show? And I'm like, shut, you're crushing it.
Right. But
my advice was, you know, after I rambled to find it, was save your money, have a blast while you're doing it, and know that it's going to end. Save your money, obviously, live your life, get your check. You have a cute check. Do what you want. Get the sneakers. You'll be happy about it, but also save your money because you're making a lot of money. Like I feel like just relatively, and you know, as we know the business, you're making a good chunk of money. Save some of it. You know, a lot of financial gurus say save 10% of everything that you make. Mm-hmm. And if you do that for 10 years of your life, I'm letting you know it really makes a difference and it is an awesome feeling. Enjoy it while you're in it. Oh my God. Please just have the best time. Like, just take this time, do your work, be serious about the work. When 5, 6, 7, 8 happens, make sure you know your step. I tell my kids that, like, when I teach now, like, just when it's time to hit the 1, be where you're supposed to be. But like, have a blast, goof off, like, do the things, like, enjoy this time because this is your life now. Like, my rehearsal schedule is 10 to 6, Monday through Saturday. I'm going to live at my rehearsal space. I have to have fun. I'm going to live at my theater. I'm going to be there 8 times a week. I need to be able to just have a good time and feel good. Like, have a blast. Number 3, it's going to close. Something's going to happen. Either you're going to leave the show or the show is going to leave you. So that kind of emboldens the first 2 points even more. Love it while you have it because you're not going to have it forever. Your body may give out at some point. We hope it doesn't, knock on wood, but it might, / you're going to get tired in some way. And I used to think, no, I want to do this forever. Y'all, you're going to get tired of doing it. It's just going to hurt in a different way. In one of the many ways, you might just want a different lifestyle. You might not want to do 8 shows a week. Your body might not be able to handle the stress. Your voice might not be able to handle the stress. You might want to have kids and they may need a certain different amount of attention. And you're also going to want to save your money because you don't know the next time that you're going to have this opportunity. Like, so many things are true about that. So that's like my first nugget. My second nugget is that I think that representation is so important, and seeing yourself in high spaces is so important. And as a Black gay man, I am currently seeing, and not only a Black gay man, a Black gay tall man who does a lot of different disciplines in dance and can fake his way through a lot of different disciplines in dance. I'm currently in a space where our choreographer for Great Gatsby, Dominique Kelly, is also an openly gay Black tall man who does so many different styles of dance. And the way that it has reinvigorated me of what I think is possible in the space of not only musical theater, but just in life is so real. And we wish that we could like do this on our own. Like, oh, I just think that I'm the best. There's no ceiling, like nothing to stop me. But it always helps to see somebody doing it. Somebody that looks like you, somebody that thinks like you, somebody. And representation comes in all different shapes and sizes and colors. Like, I felt represented by white men before, by white women, by Latinx people, by the AAPI community. I've felt represented by so many different types of people, but there's nothing like seeing yourself as closely as you can in a space where you think you want to be. And everywhere that I go right now, I speak about it because of how important it is and how much it has reinvigorated me. Like, it's meant the world, and that cannot be diminished or underwhelmed. My last piece of advice is that there are so many ways to be able to call yourself a performer without you having to be on Broadway. Please don't let Broadway be your end-all be-all. Get there if you get there. If you don't, you are still an amazing person. Your child is still an amazing person. And you end up where you are because of who you are. And so just be that thing first. Like, just be live the lifestyle and let the rewards come out of living your lifestyle. And because that's kind of what's been happening for me and for a lot of people who I know, including Dominique Kelly, and like so many amazing people that I know are just out here living. They're like, I just do this. I simply just wake up in the morning. This is what I choose to do. And because of that, I've been awarded these opportunities.
It's a much better perspective to have.
Yeah.
Much better perspective to have, because then in any moment, you're more relaxed.
Even as I said it, I started to calm down because it just does it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes responsibility off having to be some one thing and knowing that whatever you are will grant you gifts. Because, you know, we compare and we're like, oh, I don't know. You already are going to get gifts. It doesn't matter like who you are right now. It doesn't matter what you choose to do today. You are going to get gifts. And there needs to be some reassurance inside of that before we try to add on the extra things to get a specific gift. Mm-hmm. You're going to get gifts regardless.
Amazing. Let's end on that note. Oh, my goodness.
I feel that.
Now this, you know, it's so great too, Curtis, honestly, thank you so much for this time, because there are so many people that need to hear it from you, just like you were just saying, you're seeing yourself in working with the choreographer for Gatsby, and people are going to watch this and see you and see themselves and be inspired by everything that you're saying. So thank you for taking the time, because it's really, I know for a fact that the stories that people are sharing are helping. They're helping parents, they're helping children, teens, they're helping new talents. So you were remarkable. Just so, yeah. And you know what too? Like very loving in your way. You know, like it's like you really want to help people. So maybe that's another calling down the road for you. Thank you for doing this, because I know you took time out of your last day off before the big job starts. But I can't wait to see you up on stage. Have a good rest of your Sunday before the crazy starts tomorrow.
Thank you very much. You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
See you, Curtis. Bye.
See you later.
Join me on Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern. Need more information? Visit lbctalent.com and follow me on socials at @LisaSelak_LBCTalent. By sharing our stories, we can help other talented individuals land the career of their dreams. If you're enjoying this podcast, please like and subscribe and hit the bell for notifications.